Looking in the book of Genesis today, specifically looking at Genesis chapter 28, and then also going up to 35, and looking at a couple of portions here. It's the life of Jacob, circumstances in his life that give us a lesson. Last Sunday morning, we had our focus on the portion of his life where he was wrestling ultimately with God, and his name was changed, his life was changed, and so many things that took place was different following that, including a limp. This morning I'm going to look before that as well as after that. And finding deeper communion with God. Would you bow your head with me as we ask for the Lord's special touch today? Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's still our prayer for thy kingdom to come and be seen in our lives and in our circumstances. We want your will to be done. And as the young people sang this morning, there's times that we can't understand things, but we can still trust your heart, knowing that you do all things well and that everything works for our good and your glory. I pray now for this part of the service, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the preaching of your word. I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts, help us to hear today from the voice of God through your weak messenger today. Give strength and anointing, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how you want to pronounce these two names, these two locations. It's a lot easier to say Bethel, but perhaps the word should better be pronounced Bethel. And the other one is El Bethel. These are names that echo powerfully in the Old Testament pages of Scripture. These are places, these are geographical locations in Canaan. And when you say they're geographical locations in Canaan, you could say, well, that's all that they are. But in reality, spiritually in reality, they are some spiritual milestones in the life of Jacob. And then, by extension, we can find that they are also a milestone in the life of a seeker of God in their journey to get closer, have an experience, a closer walk with God. I want us to look at Bethel and El Bethel and see how their significance can maybe transform us or renew our spiritual focus in our walk with Christ, walk with God. Bethel is the place of encounter. It's the story that was first introduced in Genesis chapter number 28. Jacob is fleeing his brother Esau. He's getting away. He has done some deceptiveness, and his mom put him up to it, I understand. And he went in to his dad with that goat meal. It was supposed to be Esau and his venison meal, and Isaac was going to bless Esau and pronounce the firstborn blessings and all that was involved with that to Esau. And Jacob slithered his way in, deceptively connived to work out the blessing coming from his father to him. And Esau wasn't happy about it. Esau was kind of a wild sort anyway, but this just added some fuel to that fire. He was not happy. He was actually very angry. He was so angry that he decided that when his father died and the mourning time was past, that he would just eliminate that brother. So his hatred was so strong that murder was developing in his heart. And here in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is fleeing from his brother Esau, and he's spending a night in the wilderness. And he uses a stone for a pillow. Now, I have often wondered about that. What kind of a person uses a stone for a pillow? I just don't know. I'd rather have nothing, I think, than a stone for a pillow. But for some reason, he uses a stone for a pillow. And then in the night, Jacob dreams a dream. It was a gripping dream. It really got his attention, because in his dream, he saw a ladder that was reaching from the earth into the heavens, and the angels were coming and going up and down that ladder. And above the ladder stood the Lord. And the Lord reiterates to Jacob the covenant promises that had been given to his father and his grandfather. I suppose that it's safe to say and understand that Jacob was awestruck. He was moved by what he had seen in that vision, so that when he awakened in the morning, his head was a little bit pained from laying on that stone all night. Maybe his ear was hurting because it was crushed between his head and that stone all night. But he didn't even really pay attention to what natural things could have been taking place in his aching body that morning. But he saw God and he heard God. And the response to that experience was this, found in verse 16. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place. I would like to spend a whole lot of time this morning talking about that very aspect of this encounter that he had with God and how it changed his thinking. It didn't change his life yet, but it changed something in his thinking. He said, surely he recognized the presence of the divine at that very moment. There was something that he had never seen before, that he had never experienced before. It was an encounter with the divine, and it caused him to say, surely God is in this place. Let me ask you this morning, I want you to answer this question, not out loud. I don't want you to answer it to me. I want you to answer this question to yourself. What about your encounter with God experience that first hit you between the eyes, so to speak? The first acquaintance that you had that God's presence was there in your midst, and in your very presence you saw, you felt, you realized the omniscience and the omnipresence and the omnipower of God at that very moment. And he names that spot, that place, He names it Bethel, the house of God. Beth, the house, and El, God. Bethel. And he sets a stone up as a pillar, as a memorial pillar. Because in his mind, he wanted to always remember, here was the place, here was the spot. Here is where it was that God made himself real to Jacob. I don't remember the first time that I had an experience or an encounter with God. You see, I've been brought up in this. I was birthed in the presence of God. I went to camp meetings where there was shouting and there was healings and there was savings. There were people being saved. There were people being saved. I was brought up in this. I don't remember the first encounter that I had with God in that sense. But I know that I was acquainted with it early in my life, and I knew of a surety. I didn't have to have a brain or a head knowledge. I had a heart experience of the presence of the divine. And in the midst of my teenage years and in the midst of my 20s, I was always, always hungering for the renewal of God's divine presence. Oh, I went through some dry times, I can assure you. I went through some strained times, and I know, and I hate to say that, but I went through some strained times. But in my mind, I knew that I always wanted to get back to where God's presence, because that is what gripped my heart. And while I can't pinpoint the very first time that I had an encounter with God, I can pinpoint the very first time that my daughter had an encounter with God. And I think perhaps I've shared it with you before, but we were in the sound booth, the mezzanine at Noblesville Church. She was roughly 2 years of age, and God was moving across that congregation. There were people that were praising God, and there were, I believe, people at the altar praying. It was a real move of the divine presence of God in that service. And I looked at, as Janae was sitting on the desk and leaning over the banister of that sound room and that sound booth up in the mezzanine above everybody else. And I looked at her and I saw tears running down her face. And I said, "Janae, what's the matter?" She said, "I don't know." She couldn't understand it. She couldn't express what was going on, but she had a divine encounter with God as a two-year-old child, two-something-year-old child. And I knew that that was the beginning of an establishment in her heart that was to change her life. It was the Bethel of her existence. You see, Bethel is, or represents, a moment of divine encounter. It's a place where God finds us in our vulnerability and at the crossroads of our apprehensions and our uncertainties and even in the midst of our doubts. And he reveals his presence and he reveals his promises in the divine encounter. Somewhere along the line, each of us have had our own Bethel, a moment or a place where we first truly experienced the presence of God. Do you remember that encounter? Do you remember that time? Maybe it was the sweet sense of the divine that captured your intention or attention, or maybe it was the power of his presence that brought conviction for your sin, or maybe it was the sense of his deep love drawing your attention to Calvary. You might not have been transformed in regeneration or saved at that moment in time, but it was an encounter with the Creator that often drew your attention back to that place. But then years later, it was some time later, you know, last week we talked about Jacob's, maybe his nighttime encounter nightmare that he had. You know, it was kind of a rough thing for him, and yet it turned out as a blessing to him. But then we get on down the road, even past that, into Genesis chapter 35. And we'll see in Genesis chapter 35 that God speaks to him again. And he tells him in 35, he said, "I want you to get up and go back to Bethel." He said, I want you to go back there and I want you to dwell there and I want you to make an altar there and I'm going to appear there again. El Bethel is what he named it this time. He went back to the house of God, but this experience was more than seeing angels coming and going and the divine presence of God speaking to him and reigniting or reissuing the covenant promises to him in that nighttime vision. Now he's going back to that point to raise up an altar, and this time he calls it God of the house of God. El Bethel. We may not understand the distinction here very clearly. We may not understand it in its entirety, but the distinction is really profound, that at Bethel, Jacob recognized the place as holy, but at El Bethel, he recognizes the person of God himself. You see, the emphasis shifts from the sacredness of the location to the sacredness of the relationship. The emphasis shifts from the sacredness of the location to the sacredness of the relationship. You see, God was aware of that. Jacob didn't understand that, but God was aware of that. God knew that Jacob needed to go back and have a relationship ignited, begun, or renewed, or strengthened. The first experience at Bethel really didn't do him a whole lot out of the mindset. He went through a whole lot of other things, but then when he comes back through, as he's coming to Esau, he has an experience with God that changes his life. But then God tells him to go back to that first encounter and see what God has for him. And here is a drawing closer in a relationship, a maturing faith, a move from being impressed by experiences and places to being captivated by the God who meets us there. It's not enough for us to revere the house. It's wonderful to revere the house of God. Don't get me wrong here. Don't put words in my mouth. But it's not enough to just simply revere the house of God. We must know the God of the house. While I consider this building sacred, this sanctuary is sacred. When we come to the house of God on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and revival meetings and whatever special services that we have, this place is sacred. In my mind, it's sacred. But the point of the sacredness of the house of God is the God of the house. That's what gives us the stability or the anchor to continue. Have you had an encounter with God? Have you felt God's presence when you've walked through the doors? I hope that you experience the presence of God when you come through the doors, that we don't just take it for granted. It's easy for us to do because we become customary. We become accustomed. It's become customary for us to come to church, and we can easily take it for granted. This is. There was a man in Evansville that he was thankful for our church in Evansville because it had a revolving door for him.
And what he meant was that he could come and get saved and he would do good for a while and he would serve the Lord for a while, but the pressures of life and circumstances seemed to draw him away. Inevitably, it happened over and over again, and he would find himself not coming to church, and then he would lose out entirely, and then he would come back sometime later. And he said it was a revolving door. He was thankful that he wasn't forever shut out. And he said that any time he came through the doors, I took it for granted. But any time he came through the doors, he knew that God would speak to his heart again. Does God speak to our heart when we come through the doors of the sanctuary, into the sanctuary, to an encounter with God? It's not enough to revere the house of God, but we must know the God of the house. El Bethel, God of the house of God. Do you remember your Bethel? Recall those moments when God made himself real to you. Cherish those divine encounters. They are the foundational stones of your faith. They are the foundational stones of your relationship with God. The divine encounters with him. And then, like Jacob, return to Bethel to go deeper. To go deeper. You see, it's not uncommon for God to call us back to the place of a previous encounter to be able to pick up on some things that maybe we have laid aside or we've let down on or we've forgotten about. He's drawn us back to that encounter, a previous encounter, to establish a deeper relationship with him, to be a relationship of the God of the house of God. A deepening of our communion with him. We could just be content with our memories of God. You know, the good old days. We talk about the good old days. But we forget about the hard labor of the good old days. Because we like our air conditioning and our electric lights and our comfortable vehicles and all of those niceties that we have. And the good old days didn't have all that. Gary Burris, a man that's known around town, I've heard him talk about his early days in the excavation business and how he had to sit on the bottom end of a 5-gallon bucket turned upside down in his equipment because he couldn't afford to put in a real seat. And so when you talk to Gary Burris about the good old days, he kind of has a different idea about those good old days because he prefers the better equipment that he has or he had at his retirement time rather than at the beginning times. We can have our memories and be content with our memories of the past and of God and forget that we need to be seeking him afresh. We need to be seeking him in new living relationship with him where we have a relationship with the God of the house of God. That we worship God and not just the place. Whether the house of God represents the church or our traditions or our spiritual milestones, they're all important, they are all vital to us, but they all point to a greater reality, and that greater reality is God himself. So let us not stop with a reverence of the holy things, but we must pursue the Holy One. The journey from Bethel to El Bethel is a journey from knowing about God to truly knowing God. It is a call to all believers to move beyond the surface encounters and seek an ever-deepening relationship with the Lord. Oh, I want God to give us Bethels. I pray that God give us Bethels, points of experience, points of the presence, points where God meets with us in the midst of our vulnerabilities, in the middle of our problems, in the middle of our storms, whatever it may be.
But oh, that God would give us, move us past the Bethels into our own El Bethel, relationship with the God of the house of God. Perhaps, I think I've alluded to this already, but perhaps it's necessary for us to go back to our Bethel to pick up the things that have been lost or laid aside since that first encounter. Those vows, those commitments, those convictions, or just simply the desire or the hunger for God that has subsided since the Bethel experience. Oh God, take us from our Bethel to the El Bethel of a deepening relationship with God Himself. Deepening our relationship, strengthening our relationship, giving and building living altars for the glory of God. Not just sacred places, but an ongoing communion with the divine, a relationship with Him. Let's stand together this morning. Have you had a Bethel lately? A Bethel. A divine encounter. Have you had an El Bethel where you've had a relationship developed and begun, started or continued, deepening? This morning's a good place, a good time to have either one of them. Really, we could bring in last Sunday into this as well and make it a three. The beginning process of the attention-grabbing experience at Bethel, and then the life-changing experience beside the brook, and that deepening relationship at El Bethel that Jacob experienced. No, I'm not preaching three works of grace. I don't believe that in the life of Jacob at all. But you can see three things that attached themselves to the memory and the mind of this man to bring him to the point of a deepening relationship. Do you need that this morning? You can do that this morning. You can do that today. Have a Bethel or an El Bethel. Praise God. So good to have you this morning. Thank you for your attendance and your attention. Trust the Lord will bless you today. Don't forget our services tonight. We need His help and His touch tonight. Praise God. James Tedrow, would you dismiss us in prayer?